Ryan Rashog is in Tampa Bay, where he'll be covering the Habs and the Bolts. Likely suntanning in his Speedo outside. Thankfully, we are far enough away. We won't have to see it. He joins us now. Shogger, how you doing?
Buddy, thanks to the internet and technology, I'm going to selfie a pic of me and my Speedo right now and send it directly to your phone.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can look forward to that the next minute or two.
Oh, great. Can't wait. That'll be awesome. Before we get
actually kind of overcast and crummy here. I was hoping for better things arriving in Tampa, but we've got rain.
Oh, wow. Hey, we have a little bit of intermittent snow here, so.
Yeah, you're not missing much here.
Yeah, exactly.
Won't complain then.
We'll get to the playoffs in a second. Give me your thoughts. Anything stand out for you from what McTavish said today?
He doesn't want to fire anybody. He really doesn't want to fire anybody. I really get that sense. The fact that he went out of his way to talk about what a good job he thinks the assistant coaches are doing. The fact that he went out of his way to talk about how he needs to do a better job of providing them with better players. When he was asked about the scouting department, he went out of his way to compliment the amateur scouts and then kind of lumped in the pro scouts there too and talked about how it's on the organization to continue to develop these people. I think Craig feels like he's learning on the job too and that he probably didn't do a perfect job this year either, and I don't think he's the kind of guy that wants to or is going to start firing people out the door when he feels pretty culpable too. So I just, whether it's smart or not, he's a loyal guy. And a lot of what I heard today is he doesn't want to make change just for the sake of making changes, and he doesn't want to let anybody go. That's the sense I get from it.
Do you agree with that sense?
Well... We don't know. I think we in the media, we need to understand how much we're not part of and how much we don't see and hear. So it's hard for me to make a legitimate judgment on what the Oilers pro scouting staff is doing and who is or isn't doing a good job. I'm fully willing to admit. I don't know. I'm not in the meetings. So this is what I'll say. I don't think their track record is great. I don't think they've really... You know, they haven't brought in a lot of guys where it was clear that they had some great pro scouting and some, you know, professional intelligence on guys and got ahead of the curve and saw something that nobody else did. That doesn't happen a ton. So from the outside looking in, I would say that probably not as far as the pro scouts go. And from the coach, I mean, the assistant coaching one is obvious. No, it doesn't happen in the league where assistant coaches last through head coach after head coach after head coach. And so the stuff about Steve Smith, I can maybe see with Steve Smith that it makes a little bit more sense, you know, but with respect to Kelly Buchberger, he's just been here for a really long time. And it's very rare for coaches to last that long, and there's a reason for that.
Shogger, Mac T mentioned today potentially going after a big-name defenseman without touching the core. Who would be your core guys right now? And he named a few. Who would be yours?
Yeah, well, I would have Taylor Hall at the top of the list. I would have Ryan Nugent-Hopkins there as well. I would put Justin Schultz probably next. Those three, I would probably say, you're not doing yourself any good by moving any one of those. Mm-hmm. Then you've got kind of the next tier, which is I see Jordan Eberle being in that next tier. And I am going to put David Perron in that category as well. And he hasn't really ever been mentioned in this category as a core group of players who are, you know, untouchable. And I'm not saying he's untouchable. But this is the thing about David Perron. They've solidified that left side. With Taylor Hall and David Perron are your 1-2 left wingers moving forward, you're in good shape. David Perron is a good number for, what does he have, 2 more years, guys?
Yeah.
1 or 2 more years. I think he's a couple more years at a decent dollar figure. I wouldn't be moving David Perron. I think he's done enough, and I think he's a guy that you can probably win with moving forward. So I would slide him into that second tier. But I think for me, those three are the ones that I would consider untouchable. You're not doing yourself any good by moving any of those guys. But if Jordan Eberle ends up being a package to bring you an elite defenseman, that's what this team needs, and I think they need to consider it. So I cut it off at 3.
Yeah, he had Nugent Hopkins, Everly Hall, Justin Schultz. I think they still maybe consider Yakupov, but you know, I'm not sure he deserves to be in that conversation based on what he's shown yet.
But don't you think though, Jason, from the way that Craig talked about him today, and from what we've heard this year, that moving him right now,
it doesn't make sense.
What would the return be like versus what you potentially could be giving up? So it just doesn't make sense right now. I think probably whether he's part of the core group or not remains to be seen. I just don't know if it makes sense to move him at this point in his career. Is that fair?
No, unless a team's willing to pay you on his potential, that's the only way you would trade him, because they're not going to give you much based on what he's done through the first 100 or so games of his career, which leads me then to the obvious thing. So we're all in agreement that Perron's not getting moved. Yakupov's likely not getting moved. He wants to improve his second line. He said it when I asked him about it. Got to improve our second line. We need secondary scoring. So it seems kind of obvious then who's left in the top six who's likely not here. Sam Gagner.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this for a couple of seasons now. Wasn't a great year for Sam. I don't know what the return would be for Sam Gagner. I honestly don't. I don't know what kind of conversations Craig has had. I don't know what kind of a player is realistic return-wise for Sam. His contract is not great. So I'm not sure what kind of a return you could get for Sam. But this we know. I think Sam is a number two center on this team. The way this team is shaped and formed isn't the right fit, and it hasn't been for quite some time. And chances are they're either going to draft a high-end defenseman or a guy that quite quickly can slide into that number two center role. So, you know, Gagner, Eberle, and Yakupov, if the opportunity or the offer is really, really good, to me, are pieces that the Oilers could use to potentially bring in that top flight defenseman.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Let's move to the playoffs, Ryan.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, Montreal. Tampa Bay won home ice advantage on the final day of the regular season. There's also, I guess, let's start with the Ryan Malone situation. Of course, got pulled over on the weekend, DUI, and then possession of cocaine. What's his status? Is he playing in the playoffs? How does this impact this team?
Yeah. You know, it's not like this guy was playing on their second line when this happened. I mean, I think he was a healthy scratch. He's been hurt, and then I think he was healthy scratched for three or four games before this happened. So it's not like one of their regulars is being pulled from the lineup. Wasn't at the rink today. Didn't see it. Wasn't on the ice for the skate. Isn't around right now. You know, Steve Yzerman hasn't said anything else about this. The organization has said they're not answering any more questions about this. So for right now, until I think they get a sense for how serious this is and what the outcome looks like it could be, they're kind of just not really talking about it and trying to sweep it under the rug. This is a very good team without Ryan Malone. They don't need Ryan Malone to be a good team. They've got good players already. They've got some depth guys that can play in that position. So it's unfortunate because it's negative press, but this isn't going to cripple this team in any way, shape, or form. He hasn't been that critical a piece for them.
Montreal obviously has the advantage in net with Bishop out. Can they get past Montreal without Bishop?
Well, I mean, if you had asked me that 2 weeks ago, I'd have said no way. But then Lindback goes out and wins first star honors in the NHL this last week, put up fantastic numbers, a couple of shutouts, just shot the lights out. And he wasn't great this year. He really wasn't great this year at all. So what they have is an unproven playoff goaltender who finished the year strong. That's the guy that Tampa Bay is leaning on, is an unproven guy in the playoffs who had a tough regular season with no playoff experience. So no question, it's not even close matchup-wise in net. But we'll see, because Montreal is a bit of a one-trick pony offensively in that one line. And if the Lightning can figure out a way, and whether it's Ryan Callahan, whether it's Teddy Purcell, whoever it is that they match up against that line, if they can limit that line's chances, they might not need spectacular goaltending to win this series.
Look, staying out east, Ryan, in that conference, of course, you've got Boston And
Detroit.
A lot of people. It was funny. Bob McKenzie put out a tweet that infuriated Flame fans when he said that there was the rumor that Calgary could have got Nyquist and Tatar for Bouwmeester.
Wow. I didn't see that tweet from Bobby.
No, I saw that earlier.
Man.
But, Detroit, 23 years in the playoffs. They make this miraculous run down the stretch. They get Pavel Datsyuk. But now they're taking on the Boston Bruins, who have been the best team in the East all year long. What's interesting is they also were the top point getter. They win the President's Trophy. Three of the last five President's Trophy winners have lost in the first round. And if Detroit upsets them, how do they do it?
Well, good question. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I'm picking Boston to win that series reasonably handily. I just think Boston is such an incredibly complete team. So you're kind of asking me a question where it's a hypothetical that I don't necessarily we've watched Boston play in the playoffs the last couple of years. They're strong down the middle. They've got great goaltending. They've got a rock solid decor. Their depth up front is as good as most teams out there. So I'm not sure. I guess Jimmy Howard is just going to have to be off the chart good. The Red Wings are banged up front too. So I don't see them doing it. Sorry if that's kind of cheating your question, but I don't see it happening. I don't see Boston faltering in the first round this year. No. I mean, is anybody picking Detroit?
No. I was asking because everybody's picking Boston to win. So yeah. I wanted to see what could Detroit do to upset them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? You give Boston the check mark in pretty much every single category. And I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't know what the special teams matchups are and the kind of the intangibles. But I don't know, boys. To me, the Boston Bruins are the class of that conference. They're... Man, they're a heck of a good team. I just don't see it happening.
Sugar, quickly. So you have Boston winning the first round. Who is your picks for the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, well, I think Boston gets through. I think they probably end up Boston and Pittsburgh on this side, out east. And then I think, the Chicago Blackhawks, despite the fact that two of the Taves and Kane are both banged up, I still have a feeling that they've got enough left. And I know it's tough for teams that won the year before to get through. I think they make it to the conference finals, but I think LA probably squeaks by them. So I'm gonna go LA and Boston in the final, and I'm going to take the Bruins to win it.
All right, Sugar. We'll talk to you throughout the playoffs. Enjoy the tan. Please don't send me your picture.
No worries, buddy. I haven't worn a Speedo since. Well,
yeah, I don't need to hear the answer.
Sugar, you can send it to me, and I'll make sure he sees it.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Take her easy, Ryan Rashog from TSN.